So his love is extravagant, and that's the focus of our worship every week, on his great love for us. I was thinking about, I don't know, on holiday, if you exercise regular. Do you? Well, good for you. I don't. I didn't. I went for walks regular, but I went to the gym recently and did the thing in the gym, you know, and I said, wow, this is a little tougher than it seemed like in June when I was doing it. I think that's the way it was here at worship service. We're getting back into the gear of fall and springing back, and we had a couple little rough edges around. But we're getting back into that, and we're going to get back in shape, and things will go smoother. Just on the offering, we do support two ministries. One was canceled, our trip to go to outside of Chengdu in a little village called Wufangxi, and the Gospel Road Church there. We wanted to bring them an offering when we went up at the end of the month. So somehow we've got mixed up and we're doing the Hushi project first. It doesn't matter, but the Hushi is a church plant that we're doing well. I'll tell you more about that next week. But to make a long story short, there are two projects we're trying to encourage, and they're through Gary So and Hong Kong Medicare. Those are the ministries we've been supporting online for this year. But thank you for your generosity, and because the Lord's great love is to us, we give generously and joyfully because what he's given towards us. But anyway, here we go. It's a mystery. What's a mystery? Well, we're going to be looking at that in just a moment. And you guys know what a mystery is, kids? What's a mystery? You like mystery books? Anybody like to read mysteries? Anybody like to watch TV programs or something? Mystery? Yeah, okay. A few loose hands are all up. Jeanetta's just calm. Okay. Anyway, I like mysteries, but we're going to look at one, not just any mystery, but we're going to look at a mega mysterion. That's the Greek word for mega mystery. It's a big mystery. It's a profound mystery, is the way the English standard version of the scripture will describe it. And it's going to come from Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. And in your bulletin, we have a blue sheet handout of these scriptures. And I'm going to ask you, ladies and men, boys and girls, to help me read this. And it'll be kind of clear. I'm going to put it on the screen as well so we can see it. The Apostle Paul makes reference to mystery over 19 times in his epistles, and beginning from Romans through Timothy. And we'll find that there's only two that he talks about as being great or mega mysteries. And the one mega mystery is what we're really looking at today. And the other big one was the mystery of godliness. But they all form different words, the revelation of God and the fullness of Christ Jesus. And remember, Jesus even told his disciples, he said, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the mysteries of the wisdom of God have been given to you, the disciples. It's been hidden. But now in these days, in these last days, these days of the church, the days of grace, has been made known to us what God has intended from the creation of the world to redeem a people to be with him forever and ever. And that people, you and I. Those of us who've come to faith in Christ Jesus. And today we're going to look at a mystery. And boys and girls, keep your eyes open and see if you can see it. But let's all read this together. But before we do, let's pray one more time and ask the Holy Spirit to help. Father, it's good to be back with my friends, my brothers and sisters here in DB, young and old. But like every Sunday, I stand in need of Holy Spirit to help me speak words that are pleasing in your sight, but also to help my heart, I pray, help my heart hear and apply the Word of God. And I pray this for my friends. In Christ's name, amen. So if we could start out looking at Ephesians 5, 22, 33, this is where we're going to look at this mega mystery, this big mystery, this profound mystery. And if I could ask ladies, if you'd help get us started reading verse 22 through 24. So ladies, if you'll read.
Wives, submit to your own husbands,
Okay, guys, if you could read 25 to 27. So I'll take over. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, boys and girls, here it is. This mystery is profound. This mystery is great. This mystery is the mega mystery. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Now, let's all read this one all together. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This ends the reading of God's Word. So the great mystery of marriage is Christ and the church. But we'll try to unpack this a little bit, help you understand what this great mystery is all about. But this is what we're talking about, and it's in the context of Christ and the church and marriage. And let's see if we see it. You might say this is the sermon I wish I could have preached at David's wedding. You know, I was restricted. I'd given some perimeters, but I didn't hold back. I did ask God to bless them in the name of the Lord Jesus, so I did do that. But I was worried about how I was going to work in that. I'll tell you more about that if you're interested, how that worked out. But the great mystery of Christ and the church, context specifically, I'll be looking at it, just these verses, verse 31 and 32. So in verse 31, Ephesians 5 is an actual quotation from Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You might say, so when's it time for the kids to get out of the house? When they get married? Ooh. I mean, if you're a teenager, when's the time to get out of the house? I mean, you know, as soon as I can. As soon as I can afford to, I'm out of here. But the scriptural basis, it would seem, to supporting families is when you get married. That's a logical time to do it. Now, we have an evolution of government where government takes care of old people, and maybe we don't have the sense of filial obligation. But in Asia, we see that. Most of Asians, you know, we think of, I'm going to take care of my mother and father. And particularly within this culture of the Chinese culture, they do a great job of that. But they're becoming more and more shaped and molded by the world's ways. But what we're supposed to do is do what? Leave and cleave after we get married. Leave our father. Oh, here we go. Okay. That's Hee-suk Dong. He's from North Korea, born in North Korea, escaped as a little boy, and became a successful business person in California. And that's his eldest daughter, Yuri. And this wedding was held out in Gillespie Park in Tilden Forest, right outside of Berkeley, California. And so the church was out in the woods. And they asked me to officiate. So exhorting them to be truly love in the sense of having passion, intimacy, knowing one another, and then this commitment. And I did read 1 Corinthians 13 to them as well. And so they've left. David has left James and Bonnie. Yuri has left Hee-suk and Sang-ju, Korean family, and they have become one. Boys and girls, are you guys going to grow up one of these days? You're not going to be teenagers or 12-year-olds or 6 years old. You're going to grow up. And you might become, you know, handsome like me. I don't know. But you're going to grow up, and my prayer for you is that you will meet a love of your life, all right? And you'll cling to them, and you'll love them. So here they are, husband and wife, man and woman, whatever, David and Uri. So two families coming together, the Dongs and the Buckners. That's Joseph, by the way, in the blue. Now, the Korean clan is a little bigger. That's the Dongs and the Kims. Mrs. Dong sitting there in the this one. That's Hee Suk and Sang-ju. But Sang-ju's family are Kims. Is Cecilia here? Is Cecilia back? Well, Cecilia is a Kim, right? Well, these are the Kims and the Dongs, all right? So David's married into a clan of Koreans. Oh, yeah, you can't have a wedding without football. Those of you guys who knows me, you know who's playing tonight? No, never mind. Okay, but Chris Ma, he's a doctor in UK right now, and he grew up with us playing football, and he flew all the way to UK to be there at David's wedding. I like Chris. But it was not only just football. We had some fun on the dance floor, and he still cut in. But here, I wanted to show you Bonnie. I thought you'd get a kick out of watching Bonnie dance. And so she had fun, too. We didn't just play football. You've been praying for Joseph. That's the eldest son. He has some physical problems, but he's coming out of it. And very, very much was concerned about his mental health, actually, becoming super depressed. Well, he seemed like he broke through. Something happened during this holiday, and I praise God for that. A new doctor is in his life, and we're praying that this doctor will be able to bring him some healing. If anybody ever had irritable bowel syndrome or fibromyalgia, it's these kind of diseases which docs can't really help you. They can tell you what it is, but they really don't know what to help. And so you do diet control. He's been on severe, I mean, how can I say, very, very, very careful diet for 6-7 years. And it's just awful. But anyway, this new doctor says he thinks he can help him out, and they're going to go on. So remember to pray for Joseph. Mei Ling, you may remember, Mei's wearing her hair very short. She was involved in a horrific car accident this past December, survived, and here she is with Joseph. Just wanted you to see them, she's doing well. And see, Joseph can't eat anything like she's eating, that's for sure. Okay, so for this reason, Joe and Mei Ling leaves their father and mother. David and Uri leave their father and mother. So what? They can hold fast, and the two become one. Okay? You leave family allegiance. Now, I sometimes think, well, what in the world has happened here? David's married into this Korean group. He works for the Korean guys. They have their own this nice restaurant thing. And so he's working there, but his allegiance, his number one allegiance on the horizontal line, on people to people, is Uri. He's not answerable to me. Yeah, he respects Bonnie and I. He honors us as father and mother. And it's lovely to see Dr. Caminata and Mrs. Caminata here with Jesse up there. And I know Jesse honors them. He loves them, but his number one allegiance is to that other lady next to him, his wife. And the same for all of you who are married. I think you get where I'm getting at. This you leave your parents. You keep honoring your parents, but you cling and you become one with your mate. And that's what's happening with Dave and Uri, and of course, many years ago with Joe and May. So that's the way of things. That's the way of the created order. Marriage is wonderful. It's beautiful. But now get ready for the mega mystery. Marriage, you leave and cleave, you become one. All right? But the great mystery is profound. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. We're talking about a leaving and a unification with Christ himself. We are members of his body. We belong to him. We're told in 1 Corinthians 6, how can we let this body be connected to something unholy. We can't do that. Because this body has been bought with a price and it belongs to Him. It is His body. It is the temple of His Holy Spirit. I don't know if you catch all this just yet. It's hard for me to imagine this. Do you remember, boys and girls, let's see how good your Bible studies. What do you think is going on here? What do you think this is all about? Somebody's whispering into an ear. Is it just, what do you think? The burning bush? It kind of looks like that. It got me. I can see how you go. It's not that one. It's happening, this terrorist meets Jesus. Yeah, so Saul, before he was named Paul, he was a terrorist. He went around persecuting the church, right? And so Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus, and he says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute the brothers and sisters?" Is that right? That's not right. "Saul, why are you out there persecuting the church?" Is that what he says? What does he say? "Why are you persecuting me? You've touched my church. You've touched me. It's my body. It's a profound mystery. I don't get it. I'm trying to get it. We sang about it, all those great love songs, and we cannot create enough love songs to express to Jesus what He has done for us. But He has purchased you and I by His shed blood on the cross so that we can be part and whole collectively. His bride. We are His body. So, how can I submit? If I'm a woman, how can I submit to this guy? Because I belong to Jesus. I'm in His body. How can I love this woman like Christ loves the church? Because what? I belong to Jesus. I'm His body. Do you get it? The stamp of creation was to make male and female in His image to show the world that this unity that we have, this life-producing unity, is what? Is an example of God Himself. It is no little thing. Man and woman, boy and girl, marriage is of God. And it shouts, God! Like I said, this is the sermon I wanted to preach at David's wedding. So, unbelievers who need to know that God loves them. But put this on the practical side. The application is pretty tough. Okay? It's verse 33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Okay, so I'm going to love Bonnie as myself. Why? Because of this profound mystery. I'm a member of Christ's body, so I'm going to love Bonnie. It keeps me going. And why is Bonnie going to respect me? Because I'm always clever and always right? No. She's going to respect me because what? She belongs to Christ's body. And she's going to learn something about Christ. I'm going to learn something about Christ. Now, I tried to think through what might be an application of this, and it dawned on me, the Larsons, as you know, Connie and Steve were here, and I really thank the Lord that they were able to come and share and minister to you during my absence on holiday. But they stayed at our flat, and they stayed in our bedroom, right? And so I got up in the middle of the night a couple of times and said, why is it so cold in here? You know, our window unit, you have to stand on a chair to go up there and turn it around. It doesn't have a remote. It's old school, but it works. Actually, it's a very new one, but it's still old school. And so I went up there and said, man, no wonder I'm freezing. These guys have it on 8. I like it on 5. And so I turned it down to 5. Very comfortable. Then I thought, you know, when Bonnie gets here, she'll want to turn it down to 3. She's going to say she's freezing. Love her as my own body. Now, what's this mean, Lord? That means I got to turn it down to 3 and sweat. What does this mean? Maybe she's asking herself, if I respect James, maybe I should put on my flannel nightgown and go to bed. So all those tremendous trifles that we are challenged with every day, every week, you know what they are for you as a couple. You have these little things going on. But there are opportunities to do what? To love and respect. And remember, Christ left glory, walked this face of the earth to be despised and rejected. And we belong to Him. We're married to Him. It's not been revealed yet, but boys and girls, it's coming up. We're going to have this great feast in heaven. And, you know, when you look up the word bride in the New Testament, it refers often, most of the time, not to the church, but to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is this bride, you know, this thing that's this new Jerusalem coming down. But it's the place where we exist. You know, Jesus doesn't get his kicks off of being married to a building, but it's those people within that building, you and I, all believers from history, who are saved by his blood. It makes this great wedding feast that's coming up, the Feast of the Lamb. Now, it's pretty good stuff in California. Ruth's here this morning. You talk to my daughter, and she'll tell you, yeah, we had an 8-course meal. Fine wine. Oh, man, I don't know where somebody brought this great wine. It was great. I don't know what it was, but it was good. I couldn't even read the bottle. If you get a label and it's raised lettered, you can't even read the bottle. What in the world? I don't know. But it was good. It was a great feasting. But nothing that you have experienced on this planet or will experience can compare to the feast that's coming. Great mystery. My prayer this morning, I prayed with two sisters earlier before service, is that the men and women of this church, the husbands and wives of this church, would just grow more and more in love with each other because they understand they are members of Christ, that they are part of this collective bride of Christ, and that DB will see a difference in our relationships. Now, some of us have been burned. How can I say? We've not done well. And if all honesty, if we all got together as couples, we'd say, yeah, this is where I'm falling short in loving my wife. This is where I'm falling short of respecting my husband. But some of us have gone through that awful thing called divorce. God loves you. He cares for you. And He wants you to know that, yes, you belong to Him. And if I could go back and make, you know, you learn in hindsight, you can see the things that have done wrong and all that kind of stuff. But God loves you. And your identity is not based upon your being married or not married. Some of you are single. Some of you are single not by choice. It doesn't make that difference. But together, we do belong to Christ. We are His bride. But for those of us who are married, let's love His wife. Men, love your wife as yourself. And ladies, respect your husband. Okay, we're going to come to celebrate the Lord's table in just a minute. And that's just a reflection, boys and girls, of what's to come, of the great wedding feast. This is what it's reminding us about. But before we get to that, I see some of you guys are sitting next to your wives. Some wives are absent. My wife's not here either, Bob, so we're absent. Okay. But I want you to say something. Whisper in your wife's ear. Go something like this. Honey, I'm going to love you as I love myself. Come on, Martin. Do it. Whisper in her. So those of us whose husbands aren't here and you wish they were here, just imagine them whispering this in your ear. Okay. Okay, wives, your turn now. I want you to whisper into your husband's ears and tell her, I respect you. And why do I love you? Why do I respect you? Because we are members of Christ. We are members of Christ. All right. I'm going to ask the elders to come down. I know I got Pete and Martin here this morning. Russ and David are absent. Tom, do you mind helping us out? Tom is a former elder, and if we need at least three guys to come down here to help me out. While they're coming, I'm just going to say a short prayer about marriage, and then we'll get back. Lord, it's really beautiful when we think of the whole thing of heaven as being a celebration of the marriage of the Lamb of God and His church. Father, we forget how who we are. We get our identity and our accomplishments and our profession, perhaps even as a family here, what is our family like as a family person or whatever. But our identity is in You. You have saved us to be a part of You, to be with You forever and ever. And there will be a time in history when all war has stopped, judgment has come, and those who have entered into eternal life only because of faith in You, when we all gathered around to get the throne of God together and this marriage feast happens, we will understand fully this profound mystery. But I pray for each man and woman, I pray for myself and Bonnie, that we will be so committed to one another, not because I somehow mustered this up in ourselves, but Holy Spirit would give us such an insight into how we are united with You that we'll love each other. And I pray that many more in DB will come to know You through our witness as a couple. Father, we don't want to play like all of our marriages are perfect. We know they're not. Some of us have serious problems we need to talk through and work through. And we thank You for guiding us and helping us as men and women to be real with one another and to seek help when we need it. And I thank You too, Lord, for giving peace to my friends here who are divorce survivors. People who are still single, who've never been married. I pray Your blessing on them. But now as we come to celebrate this table, have Your way with us, Lord, as we remember that this is just one beautiful sacrament You've given us to remember that we are united with You. And we thank You in Christ's name. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 that before we take of the table, we should do so in a worthy manner. We need to examine ourselves. And one of the unworthy matters is there some unconfessed sin down here that you need to talk to God about? and it could be anything. You know you can't hide anything from God, and just talk to him about that sin, confess it. Let's just take a moment. For the Corinthians themselves, there was a tendency to think more highly of themselves than they ought. The rich thought they were better than the poor, and that's an unworthy matter. We're all poor here in this room. We all are in need of grace. We cannot extend our life. We cannot give ourselves eternal life, but only through faith in Christ. And so we come to this table saying, yeah, boys and girls, we're saying this, your mom and dads are saying this, we're not perfect, we are sinners. And we hold on to Jesus' life. His body was given for us, his blood was shed for us. That's the only reason. I mean, you got great moms and dads, but nothing saves them, not their behavior, just Christ. And that's how we want you, young people, to also know, as Jesus died for you. So if we come here to this table think there's some other way that God can be our friend, that's an unworthy manner. Don't come. But if you believe that Jesus Christ died for you, for your sin, made it possible for you to be friends with God and live with him forever, please come and celebrate with us. Scriptures tell us on the night that Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. Boy, this is crumbly bread. And anyway, let's see, got two pieces, all right. And he said, this is my body given for you. And every time you eat of this, do so in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the cup of wine and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant, my blood shed for you. Every time you drink of this, you proclaim my death, my blood shed for your sins. Boys and girls, moms and dads, older people, we're here to celebrate Christ. So come, eat and drink in remembrance of him. If this is your first time to take communion with us, we form two lines and you come down. We don't pass out stuff. And we take the elements here. You can go over to my right and if you need a time to meditate. But please, come on down. Regulars, you know how to just show them what we do. But let's eat and drink in remembrance of him.
So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home, you're not too. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, is hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far.
Thank you, boys and girls. Thank you, adults. And we celebrate the Lord Jesus. And we eat and drink in remembrance of him. And we proclaim his death until he comes again. Let's join in with our closing song.
His love that defines the relationship that he calls us to have.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. All of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Love.
Let's receive the benediction. Now may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit make you and I overwhelmed with this profound mystery of how we are united with Christ forever and ever. And especially, use us, Lord, and bless our marriages to reflect this love. Amen.